Father, as we learn your word, learn about what you've prepared for us today, we are transformed in the name of Jesus. Lord, even in this season of open doors, your people step into dramatic miracles. Amen. Dramatic testimonies. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please, I'm serious. Expect strange things. Are you with me? I'm serious. Expect strange testimonies. And Lord, as we study your word, we are blessed. We are edified. Amen. Our errors are corrected. Amen. We are pruned in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So for the past three services, we have been learning about the non-negotiable elements for greatness. In fact, in the month of July, we have been studying what we have called thoroughly furnished, the school of greatness. I believe you have been blessed so far. And even if you pretend like you're not hearing what we are teaching, you must hear it. Because as pastors, we know when the things we are saying has begun to enter the people. You know, I was talking to one of our pastors on a Sunday. Was it Sunday or Monday? And we're like, this teaching that we are doing, we don't think it has really entered people's brain, entered people's soul, entered people's hearts. It takes repetition for some things to enter. Are you with me? It takes repetition. And so, while we are going to keep on moving on, I will encourage you, go back and listen to these things again. And I will do my best to re-emphasize. We'll do our best to re-emphasize it because of how important it is. Are you with me? And so, today we have one of those greatness non-negotiables that we cannot ignore. It is literally an elephant in every room. Are you with me? It's called character. Say after me, character. Character. Say it again, character. Character. I have 8 things to say about character. Before I go into the particular department of character I want to emphasize today. So the first thing is this. Your character is the sum total of your responses to life, to people, to things, and to your environment. Let me say that again. Your character is the sum total of your responses to life, to people, to things, and to your environment. See, one major reason why I'm doing this teaching is because when you truly pass through a discipleship process, it must be obvious. Are you with me? It must be obvious. When you come under a teaching priest, there must be a mark that you have been trained. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? There are too many churchgoers we see. And when you look at them, they have not been trained. You know that these ones, they are amateurs. And it's painful. One of my biggest pains or annoyances, is there any word like that? It sounds correct. But it may be wrong. You know, that's how English is. One of my biggest annoyances, I used to feel like, if you have been with me for a certain time, there should be things that should be known about you, whether you like it or not. Are you following me? Yes, there should be things that has changed in your character. For instance, when David, King David in the Bible, was being chased down by Saul to be killed, at a certain point in that journey, Saul went to ease himself or to ease himself in a cave. And he happened to enter the cave where David and all his men were. And David's men said, "The man that has been chasing you to kill you is now in your front. Kill him! Kill him!" And they were like, "David, strike this. You don't have another chance." One of them said, "David, give me one chance. I will not strike him twice." Once he's going down. And David said, "How can I lay my hands on the Lord's anointed?" This was the man that wanted to kill him. And the opportunity came for David to kill the man back. And David said, "How can I lay my hands on
Lot's anointed. So do you know what David did? David went so close to him, caught a piece of his cloth, and said, "Oh, King Saul, why do you seek to kill me?" And King Saul was like, "So you had the opportunity to kill me since?" He said, "Yes, look at your cloth. I have a piece of it in my hand. I would have killed you." And David, and Saul now said, "David, you are more righteous than I." In fact, what old King James says, King Saul said, "You are a better man than me." I believe it was a test. If David killed Saul, he would never have been king. Now, when the men of David saw that, fast forward some years later, after Saul actually now died in war, Saul killed himself, but there was somebody who claimed that he killed Saul. He brought the crown to David and started parading around David and says, "You see, I've killed Saul. You are the new king. Just take the crown from my head." David said, "You did what? You killed Saul." Before David could talk, David's men killed the man. They were not like that before. Before, they wanted to kill their enemies, but they learned from David over time that the way to the top is not by fighting your enemies. Are you with me? They learned. It was obvious. Before, they would have clapped. Instead, when they saw a man coming to say, "I killed Saul," guess what? They began to cry. All of them began to cry. Because they had learned. And so, especially now that our church is at this level, God has shown me that we are about to break forth into an explosive season. Are you with me? But I need to train our people first, every one of you. They should not, people coming from outside should not come and meet the old people and wonder, "Why are you like this? Why are you like this? What kind of character is this? That day I will deny you." I say, no, it's not my child. No, I don't, who is that? Really? Who's that? So your character, number one, is the sum total of your responses to life, to people, to things, and to your environment. When we summarize your responses, we will get your character. Please pay attention. Number two, your character is your identity. Your character is your identity. People in tech, do you discover that numbers and letters are called characters? You know why? Those are distinctive alphabets or numbers. They are distinctive. Anywhere you go, two will be two. Anywhere you go, one will be one. Three will be three. A will be A. Because they are distinctive. It is your identity. Actors in a movie are called characters because they portray a unique identity. Are you with me? In fact, when you study the Bible, the word character can be translated as fixed. Something that is fixed. If you check it in the Hebrew, it's too difficult for me to pronounce it. Something zu. Wait, I will not bite my tongue here. Something Zavik like that. T-Z-A-D. Okay. Sha, when you can overread Hebrew Bible. I was reading it, I couldn't pronounce it, but that's what it means. Fixed. In fact, other translation says it is a fixed statue. When you have you seen a statue before? Maybe you go outside and you see, maybe they make a statue of Murtala Muhammad. If you go to Lagos, when you are driving from Berga close to around Maryland, you will see a statue of Obafemi Awolowo. If I'm driving from Ojodu Berga, you will see that big statue there. That's the biblical portrait of what it means to for a character. Do you know what that means? It does not change. Character or a statue does not change. If you pour water on it, if it was smiling, it will still be smiling. If rain comes, it is still smiling. If it was standing and the sun changes, it is still there. It is a statue. It is fixed. It does not change. Please, are you with me? Am I communicating something to you? Actually, if you read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners has spoken unto us through his in the last day spoken to us by the prophets, as in his last day spoken to us by his son. So verse 3 says, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The real, if you check it, that express image is express character of his person. The express character. So the statue of God. That image does not change. So when we think about you, what comes to our mind that does not change about you? What is your character that we know that this is the person? We are sure this is what the person's response will be. What is that thing that people are sure that if you, even if you test this person, that's what you will get? That's your character. It's your identity. Am I talking to you? Please, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Hey, somebody looking at me like you're angry. We never start. No vex. We are friends, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm your pastor, right?
Yes, sir.
What are we sure about when we think about you? So the same word for character is statue. Now, using that same ideology of character, it means that your character can be improved. Because how did you get a statue? They brought a big mass of stone and someone began to chisel it. Are you with me? Someone began to work on it. Maybe the stone engraver, he began to use the chisel and irons, and he kept on chiseling the stone until he got the statue. He beat the stone down. He put cement. He put this. He put that. So that means even though character is fixed, the idea of character as a statue means that it can be worked on. Are you with me? The fine statue that you see, if you go to England, you see the statue of Queen Victoria there. That fine statue that you see of that woman, it was not always like that. It was once a big mass of stone that looked useless and worthless, but someone began to beat it and work on it and chisel it till they got that character. Are you getting this? So that means that character can be worked on. And it should be your lifelong goal that at every point in time, you will improve your character. Something like, I will improve my character. It's a journey and it should always get better. So that's number three. Number four, your character determines your destiny. Your character determines your destiny. A synonym for character is attitude. And you know that rhyme that says, or rhythmical phrase that says, your attitude determines your altitude, right? Right? Your character determines your destiny. See, your character is not built in public, but it will always be revealed in public. You can't hide it. It will just come out. Are you following me? And see, in life, at some point, you will get to a stage where your skill can no longer take you any further. All that will take you from that point is your character. Are you with me? You know, I saw something recently on Facebook. See, if you're on social media, I beg you, please and please be careful. Don't write as somebody that has no future. Don't write on social media like you don't have the plan for the next 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. A lady got a job, a big job in this city. 1 week into the job, they called her to the MD's office and said, please, we have to lay you off now. They said, we are discussing, and one of our directors went to your social media page, and the kind of person you're on social media does not align with the ethics of this company. You are fired. She was crying. I mean, I'm not a joker, not skit. She was crying. She was like, I feel robbed. She was like, how does my Facebook page or my Instagram page have to do with my job? See, it has everything to do with it. Because she will go to people's posts in the name of being a troll. She will be insulting people. She drags people online, drags pastors, drags everybody. You know what I've come to discover? Be careful. See, there are many things you think in life, they are not connected. They are. Many people that you think, when you look at them on the outside, you think that, oh, this person will never have anything to do with this person. There are places where they can meet. And if you, that's why, if you check very well, even the people that drag pastors online, check, the very big ones don't. The very big people, the very well, the top men in this country, they don't drag pastors. They don't drag people online. Are you following me? Even the ones that claim to be atheists, or the ones that claim not to don't have anything to do with God, meet some of them personally and you'll be shocked. For instance, 2 years ago, during the elections, I was privileged to meet some politicians and pray for some politicians. I did not believe that some of them knew the address of church. One came to do all night in New Breed. He came to pray overnight. He said, God, I don't know, but this young pastor I passed, something came on me. I was just drawn to go to that church. Now, if I mention the person's name, you will not think the person has anything to do with me. Are you with me? So, Sha, I just needed to say that. Be careful. Let your name not come up in places of power for wrong reasons. Let your name not come up in place of relevance for careless things. Your character determines your destiny. Your charisma can take you to the top, but it's your character that will sustain you there. Your charisma, your gifting can take you up, but your character will sustain you. Number 5. Salvation in Christ does not equate good character. Now, let me explain that. If a person has a good character, it doesn't automatically mean they are saved. Are you with me? Morality is not salvation. But if you are saved, it must reflect on your character. Are you getting this? For the fact a person has a good character does not automatically mean that they are now born again. But if you are born again, it must show in your character. It must reflect in your character. And if you are growing spiritually, it will be obvious even in your character. Are you getting this? So, in other words, we are saying that if you are in Christ, it will show in your character. However, character transformation in the general sense does not equate salvation. Are you getting this? Because there were people who were very pious in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they still needed salvation. You can be innocent but not righteous. Yes, for you to be righteous, you need the nature of God. Oh, I'm a principled man. You have the Adamic nature of sin in your spirit. And one day that nature of sin will come out as the works of darkness, the works of sin. So you need to be saved. And even if you are saved, listen, even when you are saved, you need to be intentional about allowing the work of Christ within you affect your character. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. Let me go on. So number 6. Now, there are many things I said on that number 6, so just flow with me. So, there are many biblical terms that point towards a solid character. Sometimes it's referred to as virtue. Are you with me? You know, in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, it says, a virtuous woman who can find, her price is far above rubies. You see 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5, it says, add to your faith virtue. But other times it is called the fruit of the Spirit. Are you getting me? Please, Is anybody lost? Should I say some things again? So, other words for character in the Bible is virtue, fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? Virtue, fruit of the Spirit. But I would like to start like this. Your character ought to be the reflection of the character of Jesus. Your character ought to be the reflection of the character of Jesus. Say after me, my character will be a reflection of the character of Jesus. I can pick 1.5 people saying it. Say after me, my character will be the reflection of the character of Jesus. See, when people, I made up my mind, I'm not yet there. I can't claim to be yet there, to be there. But I made up my mind that when people come around me, they should get closer to Jesus. They should feel like, wow, what kind of human being have I just met? When people get closer to you, they should get closer to Jesus. You know some people, they look very pious and holy outside, though. They look very nice. Go and live with them. You will say, hey, Jesu. You know, one key person. A lady was opening up to me. A lady came to see me. And was opening up to me. She went to stay in the house of a certain deacon. Big man in church. In his house. He segregates everybody. There is class A, class B, and class C. No jokes. There is CCTV cameras everywhere. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you hear what the CCTV cameras are for, it's annoying. It's too petty. So, in his house, only him and his wife and his children are permitted to eat with meat. Every other person, you are not permitted. When you go to the kitchen, if you are taking boiling an egg, they will call you from CCTV camera. Who gave you permission to boil egg? This is a man that is, I'm not talking about a poor man. This a man is wealthy. All children are citizens of Canada. Some are citizens of the United States. Like, all the children are citizens. Him is a citizen of, but he's a Nigerian. You don't take egg. You don't boil water to bathe. No matter how cold you are, you're not permitted to use the electric kettle once you are in class B and class C. Are you guys what I'm saying? So, the lady was talking to me like, she doesn't understand what kind of man this is. All his workers, you don't eat from his. They are from the house. When you finish working, they have like 3 house helps in the house. When you finish working, they will give you some things to go and give you small money. Go and buy Indomie outside and eat. What kind of? Now you may say security, but come on. What kind of life is that? And the people, they are wondering, how is this man a deacon? When he's angry, he will beat his wife. He will beat his wife to the point where they will have to rush her to the hospital. And then when he comes down, he will send her abroad. Go and enjoy. Your character ought to be the reflection of the character of Jesus. So, 2 scriptures, Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Can we all read this scripture, Galatians 2 verse 20? 1, 2, 3, go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, I am crucified with Christ. What is he saying? I am. My old self, my old man, that was part of my nature, has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Say after me, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. So, if Christ lives in you, we ought to see the character of Christ from you. Are you with me? Yes, sir. if Christ lives in you, we ought to see the character of Christ from you. Thank God, oh, my temperament, I am sanguine, I am choleric, I am melancholy. See, I am crucified with Christ. Melancholy has been crucified with Christ. Sanguine has been crucified with Christ. Choleric has been crucified with Christ. See, that's what I be. When I verse like this, everywhere must shake. I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Shall me, Christ liveth in me. Some of you are not talking. Christ lives in me. See, if I show you my true color is Christ. See, my true color is Christ. See, it's not because, it's just that I'm a Christian right now. If I show you my true color, my true color is Christ. Number two, look at Philippians 2 verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Ah. Philippians 2 verse 5. He says, 1, 2, 3, go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let this character be in you. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, when we benchmark you with Christ, we should ought to see that you are growing, you are making progress with the character of Christ. You're making progress. You know our vision and our mission. You know, we have a vision to raise the generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, represent the whole counsel of God. And we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We got that from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 to 13. That when they look at you and measure Christ, okay, we can see that you are making progress unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. People who knew me years ago and know me now, there is a change. My wife can testify. And I'm trusting God for greater changes. Amen? It says, let this mind be in you. Now, I want to emphasize on that word, let. Let this mind, meaning how it be in you. You are born again. You have Christ inside of you. Allow this thing flow. Let it be in you. You can decide not to let it go. You can decide to go your own way. But he's saying, let it be in you. Let it have expression in you. You can decide that, no, I'm not going to take nonsense. They slapped Jesus. Crown of thorns was put on him. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ. Every time you are ill-treated is an opportunity to reveal how much Christ has informed in you. Let me say this again. Every time you are ill-treated is an opportunity to show. It's an opportunity to show how much Christ. And let me tell you, it's not something you calculate. But remember I said your character is your identity. If it is truly there, you just react that way. It's your response. Number seven, in 8 things I want to say about character before I talk about the specific characters I want to emphasize. Do you know that a major chunk of what we call Christian development is actually character development? A major chunk of it. For instance, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greater of these is love. Give me New King James. New King James. New King James says, now abide faith, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But now, What is love? Okay, the greatest of these three in our Christian faith, he's saying the greatest of the three major pillars, faith, hope, and love. So what is love? If you go a little bit backward in that same chapter to verse 4, New King James. New King James says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. You know this one, love does not parade itself. Old King James says, love does not vaunt itself. Let me bring it to on our basic understanding. Love does not overbrag. Love does not vaunt itself. Some people, if they make, they like to make, they are never comfortable in a place where it looks like people look seem to be better than them. They must ensure that wherever they are, everybody must feel inferior to them unless they are not happy. You know there are people like that? They are not happy until if they reach a place and somebody sings better than them. Hey! Hey! They will do everything, say, it's not by voice. So. The anointing makes the difference. Ah. Why? Why are you like this? Why must you bring up that statement? They are never happy to see other people excel or excel more than them. You can excel, but no past them. Don't make it look like, and when it looks like they are better than you, they will make sure they make it clear. You are not my mate. If they buy a new car, they will take pictures so much with that car. Eh? See, even if you have a car before, you hide it. Love wanted not itself. A pastor met me one time. He said, Pastor David, I don't understand you. He said, anybody watching you online does not really know who you are. I'm like, what? Okay, so I was wondering, what was he really talking about? I even thought he wanted to talk about maybe spiritual gifts, teaching of the word of God, the grace of God in the things of the spirit and the word of God. He came and said, Pastor David, you know New Breed has three branches and the three branches has LED screen. I was like, he said, una get LED. Ah! I was like, he said, Pastor David, you are driving an SUV. I have not seen three pictures of it. He said, take more pictures. Pepper them. You're seeing me. You're telling me pepper. I said, equipment for the work is not the work. Are you with me? Equipment for the work is not the work. It's just like a construction engineer. You buy a tractor for work, and now you want the whole world to not sleep because you have a new tractor. Go and do the work now. Are you with me? Equipment for the work is not the work. I'm not carried away by the grace of God. I'm not carried away by any material thing. It's not something to brag about. We just want to make the service more comfortable. Okay, the place is hot. We want to put AC. So the place is cool. We'll now be bragging. You want to brag? Let brag that, okay, 1 million souls God saved in one day. That's where I can say, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. And even that, there is still a limit. Because you can enter spiritual pride. There are some testimonies that I've not shared. Not because I can't overflog it. Because I don't know how to keep talking about something that makes me look bigger than Jesus. Because there is whatever we do is because of Jesus. We have seen the dead come back to life in this ministry. Yes, sir. We have seen blind eyes open in this ministry. Yes, sir. We have seen the deaf here in this ministry. Yes, sir. We have seen people leave the wheelchair in this ministry. Yes, sir. And we have seen it repeated. But even that, can be more. Instead of pressing for more, you want to be bragging about small. What kind of life is that? Are you following me? You are trying to make my head swell. I say, it cannot work, sir. It will not work. I told him, sir, it will not work. This thing you are trying to do, it will not work. Until I have, even then, self, I will still not brag. Until I have 100 of my sons and daughters say, Pastor, for that project, which I just sent my account, I just sent 1 billion. He said, bless God, thank you, Jesus. Who was next? And even that, I saw something online, I was like, that's me shortly. I saw Pastor Biodun Fantuimbo going to dedicate the new private jet of one of his sons. I say, hey! I say, not far. Amen. He was going to dedicate jets. You never dedicate 10 cars. He says, now, look at this. Look at verse 5. Love does not behave itself rudely. New King James. It does not seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Is this not character? Is this not character? Okay, we say love bears all things. We've been talking about discipline since. Diligence since. You can bear load. You know, actually, if you love something, you can sacrifice for that thing. Where there is love, diligence will come out naturally. For instance, I don't know how we say this, some people don't. I woke up by 1 a.m. I was awake from 1 a.m. till 8 a.m. working, doing ministry work. Slept, I woke up by till 9. Went for a function in my daughter's school. I've been awake since that time till now. Halfway, I dozed off for another 1 hour. May I no confidence. But when there is love, you can bear all things. Are you with me? Let 6 a.m. prayer, 12 noon prayer, 6 p.m. like that. Bible study, this one. Camp meeting teachings, this one. Next year teachings. Back to back, praying, fasting. Why? Where there is love, you'll be diligent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, imagine all these things you just read is solidified in your life. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Imagine all of these things has been factored and forged in your life. What kind of man will you be? What kind of woman will you be? Just imagine it. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 16, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Then in verse 22, he says, for the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Is that not character? Love, joy, peace. You know, before I used to think character is only just your response to people, I even discovered that character is even your response to yourself. Some people are never joyful. Every time you meet them, they are always complaining about how bad things are. Have you not met people like that? It's annoying. We had to talk to one of our sisters one time. I said, you cannot always be like this. You are a beautiful girl, but you are repelling us from you. When you don't meet her, say, you're looking so fine. I said, please, with my face like this. With all these pimples, where they? She was that. Me, where my landlord even want. Hey. She was just that. Me, that this country wants to finish. Oh, God. To her, she was just cruising. No? But I discovered she was never joyful. Nobody wants to stay around that kind of person. You cannot be dating a girl as a guy. What's the problem? Nothing. Are you okay? I'm okay. Are you fine? I'm fine. Anything you say, she'll give it back to you. I'm fine. Did I offend you? You didn't offend me. So, what's the problem? I'm just, are you on your period? No, it's not that. I'm just, cramps? No. What's the problem? I'm just there. Oh, you think, brothers, have you not met girls like that? There are ladies like that. Always angry. And there are guys like that too. Always angry. After a while, I will just say, bad energy, stay far away. Shout glory. Practice some joy. Practice some joy. Shout glory. Praise the Lord. Now, see, the truth about this thing is, if you actually walk in the Spirit, if you are a genuine Christian, these character traits will be forged in your life. Because he's told you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness. Ah, that one, goodness. Some people are just bad. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Meaning, if the Holy Spirit is having effect in your life, that's what will be your natural demeanor. It will be coming out of you. If the Holy Ghost is really at work in you, that will be your natural response. Are you with me? Have you ever had this experience? I know some people may not have had it, but let me just ask. Have you ever had this experience before when you were fasting, and the fasting was so intense, somebody offended you, instead of you to be angry, it just felt simple. Are you with me? Yes, has it happened before? Because the reason why it looked like nothing to you was you are more into the spirit than into the flesh. But you see, we still have a problem. With all the things I've still explained, there is still a problem. And the problem is that when we preach like this, everybody listening assumes that my character is good. Pastor is talking about somebody else. Are you listening to me? That's the problem. As I'm teaching this thing now, all of you look so good. All of you look like your character is... Mwah. You are the best. In fact, you are the best in Jesus' name. Your character is sweet and excellent in Jesus' name. We can spiritualize it, and we just use fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, righteousness. We have all those spiritual terms for them. And so, every time we teach things like this in church, it's very easy to dodge. It's not me. I don't walk in the flesh. I walk in the Spirit. I don't walk in the flesh. Me? No. Me, I don't have problem. Oh. Many times, if you catch anybody that says, me, I don't have problem, see, hold on. Hold him. So everybody can excuse themselves. We pretend. But when real matter comes up, our characters show themselves. So I'm going to list out some things that I feel like you can start with. Some things that we should start with. Number one, are you reliable? Are you reliable? Can we depend on you? That simple statement I just asked. Or are you a sly? When you say, don't worry, I will come. They say, don't believe her. They say, for your own safety, who watched that super story years ago when there was an old man standing and told the boy, jump, I will catch you. Jump. He was like, daddy, I will fall. He said, jump, I will catch you. And the boy jumped and the man gave way and the guy fell on the ground. There's a lesson number one, don't trust anybody. What kind of teacher is that? Are you reliable? Are you dependable? Listen, all this I'm saying is just another word for faithfulness. You see now, faithfulness, when we say faithfulness, oh, I'm full of faith. So I'm faithful. You see, we have spiritualized it though, but basically when you break it down, are you reliable? In other words, are you faithful? When you give your promise, is it promiscuous? Because some promise, you just be excited. You'll be like, wow, this person has got me covered. That day, they'll give you an excuse. They'll tell you that a tiger came up from the ground and tore their shirt. The tiger blocked the road. Everything happened. Then the road now turned upside down. Even the police there could not. At a point, you're like, every time they show, they don't show up. You're like, okay, tell me what happened. Tell me. Give me the new excuse. What happened? What happened? Tell me. They promise and fail consistently. They are more dependable to fail. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 6. I knew that this teaching, some people after the teaching will look at me and say, Pastor, you're not nice. But that's the problem. I came to help you. That's my job. I'm not here to be a nice pastor. I'm here to make you better.
Yes, sir!
To make you greater.
Yes, sir!
Some people are not saying yes. I say, to make you better.
Yes, sir!
To make you greater.
Yes, sir!
To make you stronger. Proverbs 20, verse 6, he says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Everybody feel brag. Me? You can go and sleep. No sleep, oh. Now, am I saying there will not be times when you've done everything and you have to just fail people? Yes, there are times. You know, something happened last year. A man of God invited me. And I had given him my word. I'm going to be there. I'll preach. I'll preach for you, sir. But 3 days to that day, I had a vision. And the vision was an emergency about one of our churches. And I called. And the emergency was true. I told myself, I can't be here. There is an emergency. I need to run now. I called the pastor and said, Pastor, please don't be angry. I can't. He was like, hey, Pastor, don't say it. I'm like, I can't be. I begged him. Now, in the mind of this person, I failed him. But generally, I shouldn't be like that. Are you with me? So there are times when men will fail you, and it's because they are not God. No man is God. So there will be times where we fail. But it should not be always. It should be so scarce that when it happens, people say, we can excuse him. Something really happened. Are you following me? Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. It says, help, Lord, for the godly man sees it, for the faithful fail among the children of men. The faithful fail. Who can you trust? That takes me to the next thing. Loyalty. Loyalty. Are you loyal to anybody or you are just thinking about yourself? In this generation, loyalty is scarce. Loyalty is scarce. Are you committed to anyone or you are just thinking about yourself? And are you looking for the next opportunity to take advantage of someone? Some people, they are just anywhere they are. Collect. Sharp. Collect what you can collect. Take off. They don't have any allegiance to anybody. Say in this world, be like water. Take no sides. Quoting all those nonsense mafia quotes. Somebody has stood by you. Somebody has been there for you. Somebody has supported you. The slightest opportunity, the person is going through a trying time. You just pretend like it does not exist. You just take off. Bad energy, stay far away. Somebody was supporting you when he had money. The day it looks like things become rough, you run away. Pretend like he's not your friend. You don't want to associate with that kind of person. Are you following me? Loyalty. People are not even loyal to their churches. They're not loyal to their pastors. Some pastors are not even loyal to their members. You will see a member committed in church, serving God, faithful. The day one new member, somebody just joins church newly. drops 1 billion naira seed, you make him pastor. Say, oh, please, give him a seat in front. Put your hands together. Oh, this you are not loyal to your you are not loyal to your members.
Don't tempt me.
Are you getting me?
Yes,
sir. Some of you are not loyal to your friends. Even your friends. Your friend got married. This is somebody that stood by you when you was the person was sick. When you were sick in school. When you were going through a tough time in school, the person was showing up for you. Her marriage is close. It's just to you, let it be that something pressing. Some of you, nothing came up. So just take transport and go for the wedding. Oh yeah, you cannot go. Give a dime to the wedding. No.
Say, thank God for her. She's married. Praise God.
You are not loyal to your friends. You don't check up on your friends. You don't check up. Every time they don't call me, they don't call me. Who do you call? You don't check up on your people. You don't leave them hanging. Say after me, loyalty. Am I talking to you? This is the generation. We need to talk about these things. Men, be loyal to your wives. Wives, be loyal to your husband.
I used to say something. Can I talk? Hey. Hey.
You say you are dating a girl. But you already have like 5 backup plans.
And this mother, I say, it's not because I'm there. It's not because
she makes one mistake. You kick her out. She's begging you, saying, I'm sorry. You kick her. Go. Because you know you have a backup plan. You have already planned how you will already date the other girl. You are using them to call spare tire. Using them to warm your body. Well done, no? Well done, sir. Well done. Well done. Now, I know there is something called blind loyalty. Blind loyalty is when there are obvious flaws and you are still there. There's a time where you have to say, you know what, I've tried. And go on again. But don't claim you are still there and not be there. Are you with me?
Ah, my God.
Can I say what I want to say now? The thing I want to say is heavy. Ah, Jesus. Some of you cannot. Can you handle what I want to say? Even in ministry, some people are not loyal.
All I want to say is heavy, strong.
Some of you, if a man of God that seems bigger than your pastor gets your number and two of you become close, you will ditch your pastor. And I'm not talking about you. Even pastors do it. Even pastors do it. For instance, I know how much, I know the journey I have had with the church I grew up in. In ministry, there are 2 men of God I am. See, if you call their name anyhow, I can give you a packet. Archbishop Sam Amaga. That was the church I got born again in and grew up. Number 2, Apostle Emmanuel Ayiren. Are you with me? I'm meeting many other people today. Oh. You know, something happened. I will not mention the name. I met a top man of God some months ago. And after I sowed a seed and everything, he was like, wow, I'm excited about what God is doing with you. I'm excited. Wow. Come, you need to be part of our community. Eh? And I said, sir, please, oh,
before I met you, there were people that have been laboring over my life since. He was like, no, you know, I say, I thank God for, but they were just trying to, like, adopt me. You don't know my story. You don't know whether, if I mentioned big names, I can say, ah, why will I be associating with my father in the Lord? Why will I be associating with my apostle? Ah, this name looks bigger. This name looks bigger. And I will now announce I have a new father. Some people, they change father in the Lord every 2 months. I will now announce that I have a new father in the Lord. My God, Jesus. Some of you, you cannot even, some of you are ashamed to tell me that I'm your pastor. Somebody are removing their face. Look at me, look at me. Don't remove your face. Everybody, don't remove your face. Look at me, look at me. Look at me. Loyalty. 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 See, Apostle Emmanuel even knows. He say, David. He say, leave David. I'm a die-hard loyalist. Die-hard. If I leave a person, know that God has to tell me, son, it's time. This person is. So I'm not saying disobey God because of loyalty. Are you with me now? So there will be times where God will tell you, okay, leave. If God gives you an instruction or God is giving you a nudge to leave a place, you know, I left somewhere to start new breed. If God is giving you a nudge, like, oh, leave this church and be part of this church, or God is directing you, that's a different thing. But some people is not it. Oh, that one look fine. Oh, my God. Oh, more that play fresh. Bye. They just take off. Bye. Ah, instrumentalists, they are the masters. They just see somebody that is fresher. They see somebody that is... Okay, I've talked too much on this matter. Hey, God, I knew that we'll close late today. Please, I'm sorry. Since we came here, we have not closed late. This will be the first one. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brother, be loyal to your woman. You say you like a woman, be loyal to her. Because to the beauty of women, there is no end. You see, you will still see. You will see. To the beauty of women, there is no end. After a while, you come and start looking at your wife. Say, her breast is too small. Her waist is one kind. You did not look at that before. You went somewhere. You saw something. Say, Jesus, you created. Now you are here. You are not looking at your wife like, what's this? What's this? Repent. Tell your... Oh, they are not here. They are not here. They are not here. Repent. 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 Be loyal. Say after me, I will be loyal. Now, this may not exactly apply in the corporate sense, so, because in the corporate world, even some people, even some officers are not even loyal to you. I have to come there. You can be loyal to them if they have shown some, but there are some offices, they are not even loyal to you. The day you die, that day, they will implant that person. They don't care if you are dead or alive. They just want to suck from you and use you and dump you. If you find a better opportunity, just say, I regret to make this. It's so painful in my heart, but now I have to move to this new job. Move. That's business world, but dealing with men. Are you with me? That's corporate world. But when in your relationships, learn to be loyal. Learn to be loyal to God. Some of you do things in church that you cannot do with your boss. You are in church, praise and worship is on. Just put your earpiece. Just put your earbud. I don't care. They are singing rubbish. Just put your earbud and be listening to, hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. You are not loyal to God. You don't honor the presence of God. Everybody's quiet. Say, Pastor, you have a way of just. Sorry, I know we are late, but I will talk about it.
Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It is in times of adversity. That's when and where your loyalty is tested. Some of you, you have people who are close to you. The day they make you vex, the whole world will know that you and that person have ended. See, I and some of my leaders, people that work with me, they make me angry from time to time. But you will not hear me come out and start talking about them. Hey, you start. You, some of you will go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to WhatsApp, and say, they are all scum. People will just say, what happened? They will not message you. What happened? Say, that my pastor. See how he talked to me. That my service unit head. You see, this war. I don't know. You start. You say, that your head. You say, now, brother Chika, I don't know. Brother Chika, something's wrong with him. I said, I thought both of you were best of friends. He has changed, though. So, Corey, you go on public, destroy years of relationship, destroy things you built together, destroy things, just destroy, scatter everything. By the time you now calm down, you don't know how to come back. You don't know how to come back and hold things back together. Loyalty. Number three, are you polite? Or are you claiming to be? They tell you, auntie, you are rude. You say, that's how my voice is. That's how my voice is. If everybody is telling you that you are rude, don't claim that's how your voice is. The feedback explains what really happened. The feedback is telling you what really happened. Are you rude? Some people are not just rude. They are saucy. They have a stench of pepper inside. They have a way of putting it. It will pain you. Are you rude? Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Learn how to calm things down. Learn how to calm things down. See, I'll tell it for you now. See, calm down. Take it easy. It's okay. See, because I'm coming down. Take it easy. Don't let things escalate. Say, let it escalate. Blood will flow. When you see blood, can you stand? Are you rude? Every small thing you want to fight, every small thing you want to bring out that guy, you want to. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Learn to say, I am sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry. Christian character. Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Are you polite? Number four, are you honest and reasonable? Are you honest and reasonable? Can you accept when you are wrong? Can you tell yourself the truth? Or you are bent on deceiving yourself and lying to yourself? Some people are bent. Do you know that some people are bent on deceiving themselves and lying to themselves? They are bent on proving that they are right by all means. An unreasonable person does not want to see your side. It's only according to my view. The gospel according to me. When they tell you, look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. It says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Some people, they can never accept they are wrong. They will find a way and explain it back. Have you seen those things? They'll say, this one will accept straight, I'm wrong. The other person, they will say, it did not come back to you. They will find a way of bend the whole situation. You that were right will now become wrong. You never see something. The day I knew that, God, you are trying.
That day, I said, God, you are trying. I was in a taxi. A man drove with his big pot belly, drove and jammed another person from the back, broke the back bumper. Everybody stopped and said, Oga, come and tell this guy you're sorry. The guy now come and say, what can I do now? I'm like, I did my eye like this. Is my eye paining me? The guy came out like this. What can I do now? No being fought. Eh? I said, forget. This is the end. It's fin. Forget about it. They are human beings. Unreasonable. They cannot agree that they are wrong. When they correct you, somebody explain. Say, no, it's not like that. By the time they are done with the explanation, you say, it's true. Me, I'm wrong. I'm the one. It's me. I'm wrong. Some people will even lie on top. Are you honest? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Flog a fool 100 times, you know, that thing you are saying will not enter. He said, guy, you need to change the way you are going. He said, by the time the person is done, are you honest? Sisters, are you honest? Our sisters, are you honest? You say it's your mood swing. You say it's your cramps. But you know you really did not, it was not that. You made up your mind to do that person bad. Are you honest? Brothers, are you honest? When people look at you, some people, every day, they cannot trust one thing straight from your mouth. When you talk like this, but then they hear the version of the story from somebody else, there's an app, it has twisted again. By the time they hear that same thing you told brother A to brother C, it's a different version. By the time they put out the versions, no one looks like the same. No one looks like themselves. I know we are laughing, but these things are serious. Are you with me? Jesus says, let your nay be nay. Let your yea be yea. Straight up. Tell your neighbor, straighten up. Oh, I know this to be low. Tell somebody, straighten up. As a pastor, it happens to pastors. Pastors, are you straight? You say, we want to contribute for this. You have plan for our team. Hey, God. Your mind. I remember one time, leaders of the ministry met me and said, Pastor, you need a vacation. And you need a better house. I said, I know. I said, but we can't do it now. They said, Pastor, why? I said, until Abuja Church moves into a better venue, no vacation, no house. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
One pastor was complaining to me about another pastor. People just gave money for a new venue. Guess what this guy is going to do? New iPad. The latest iPhone Pro Max. So the other pastor friend was asking, guy, I thought you would say you are trusting God for a new venue. You had another phone. That your Samsung phone. It was still working now. He said, thou shalt not destroy the ox that treaded the corn. He said, see, you have to take care of the man before you take care of the ministry. I said, okay. Now, should we take care of the pastor? Very important. Should we take care of your pastor? Very, very important. Then, he quoted, they that serve at the altar should eat at the altar. I said, okay, they that serve at the altar should eat at the altar. They did not say they should eat the altar. No, because there is a way you will eat the altar. Nothing, there will be no altar again. You have heard me say that story before. It's one guy that was once our staff and was stealing. We said, the way you steal, if I stole like that, you will not meet anything to steal. The way you came and stole from this church, if I stole, you will not meet what to steal. Jump on your feet. I will say the final one while you are standing. Are you honest? Say after me, I will be honest. I will be polite. I will be loyal. I will be reliable. And number five, I will have empathy. Empathy means going out of your way for other people. When last did you go out of your way to make somebody else happy? Husbands, go out of your way to make your wife happy. Did you hear what I said? Wives, go out of your way to make your husband happy. Go out of your way. Go out of your way to make people happy. Go out of your way to take care of others. Go out of your way. Go out of your way. Learn empathy. Let me tell you, when you see things working, there are people that are making it work. They're stretching themselves. People in the choir, you know what you do to make it work. Some people, they don't know how to stretch themselves. They don't know. As once it will stretch me, no way. No way. My comfort is priority. And it will forever be priority. Learn empathy. Were you blessed today? Just begin to talk to the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me forge solid character. Help me forge solid character.